And then I asked myself, how was it at the beginning? How did people do that before the internet, before YouTube and all that? And back then, knowledge transfer was classic, using a lecture and someone was standing at the front and the auditorium was just listening and receiving the knowledge or not, and it was understandable or less understandable. And then there were books, and if you still didn't get it, then there were other people, the older brother, your cousin, and other people who were there who could explain it to you. But yeah. And now there is this movement with learning videos, and that really exploded. That's now the newest category on how to learn, but they are really growing a lot. And I already noticed that some people seem to not even go to the uni anymore, but only learn from the videos. But then I thought about it, what's the special thing about those videos? Why are they booming like that? And there are certain enablers, so things that make things make certain situations possible. And one of them is the classical internet. If you go 20 years back, there was internet, but not really the 56K modem. You couldn't really watch videos. It just wouldn't have been possible. But nowadays, there are there are very fast connections. DSL 5G is coming out soon. It's just there. It exists. And that's one enabler for these videos. Another point for these videos is the equipment. Nowadays, has everyone, or almost everyone, a 4 or 8, even 8K camera in their pocket. And that's just extreme. You can just make a video, just point your camera at it, and it's so easy. You don't need expensive equipment that you needed back in the day. TV production was really expensive, but nowadays it's very simple because everyone has this phone, and that's enough. And now a lot of these videos do not come from the teachers at university, but from young people themselves, from the students, and they speak the same language. And that is something that's just interesting about the generations. There are separate generations, and each generation has different values from the others. And when you stay within your generation, it's much easier to exchange between yourselves because you have the same language. It's much easier than when someone in their 60s, some professor somewhere, tells you something. Another enabler is YouTube and Google. When you nowadays have your smartphone with Android, that's also Google. Even if you don't like it, you can't get rid of it. And Google, whenever you type something, it's immediately available. The easiest example is how to make a paper plane. Do you want it as a text? Nah. If you have it as a video, it's much easier. And that's the next point. You can watch it as often as you like. So you're not annoying anyone. If you would ask your teacher to repeat themselves 5 times, that would be annoying. And yeah, that's really annoying if you do that. But the video is very patient and you can watch it as fast as you need it. If you want to know how to make a paper plane, you can only jump around in the video and you can slow it down or speed it up, whatever you need, without annoying someone. So it's anonymous, so nobody thinks you're stupid or looks down at you. And yeah, the next enabler is the monetization. With the keyword creator, for example, on YouTube, they get money if they create a video that's really successful. That's not giant amounts of money, but of course it helps. And if it works, then, and you get money for your hard work, then that motivates you. And the feedback motivates as well. When you get nice comments, that helps. That really helps motivate the YouTuber. And that redoubles the effort, and that leads to more and more videos being created, and the community is happy and it grows. And what's the result of all this? So it leads to something that I really envision, what I really like. Oh yeah, one last thing. The critics from all this about quality control. Yeah, if everyone can put something in, and what if something is wrong? And yeah, I can say there's an algorithm and that ranks good videos up and bad videos down with a dislike or like. And that's a classic winner takes it all principle. So the better the videos are, the more likes they get, the better it's ranked, the more they are watched. And in the end, you only have 3 or 4 videos at the end that are really good, where the community says, yeah, that works. And then the users, they are making the comments, the watchers. And where does that lead? That leads to a global knowledge management system. And that is something that never existed before. In the past, well, knowledge was separated from certain people. It was privileged information. And nowadays, it's possible for people to just get information. Everyone can have access to the same information. And that changes all the learning process, the complete learning process, but also the complete teaching process. Well, what do I mean by that? We are living in a world that's changing ever faster. There are hype topics. First it's robotics, then it's artificial intelligence. It's changing all the time. Everyone knows those buzzwords, and it's changing ever faster. And that means for us in our world, we have to generate new knowledge ever faster and also learn ever faster. And of course, videos are great for this, because an expert can just create a video and done. Of course, if you want to use that knowledge, use that information, there are something called micro degrees. For example, 8-hour courses for Python programming, then you get a micro degree you can use in your CV, and it's a cool thing. And what does that mean for teaching? Of course, you need a lot fewer teachers. You need 1 or 2 teachers for a complete university, because they're only there for questions, for the difficult things, because the basics, they are there in video. You don't need a prof to just stand there for 90 minutes. You don't need that. And another thing, what you can do it completely online. That's especially useful today, of course, so you can isolate people. And now at the university, that's what I explained. And then for companies, of course, there's a huge potential for these videos as well. So products are usually bought according to the availability of tutorials in the net. Of course, there's no hard statistics behind this now, but how do I get this then? If I myself look for something, for example, a simple calculator. So if I now want to know if I can use it, if I do my research before buying, then I just enter it into Google, and then I see, okay, there's a video about this, there's a video about this, there's another one. Then I see, okay, there's enough information. So either it's not difficult to use, or I can find an answer to everything. And that's, of course, a huge boost. So yeah, it's a huge boost in marketing, and I use these two examples now, Konrad and Reichelt, just electronics companies. And if you look for them in YouTube, there's a lot of videos where they explain their products. For example, how can I improve my Wi-Fi at home? And all these informations are available, and they make them available as a marketing tool. So that's also an advantage amongst companies. If you can provide all this information, people will find you when they're looking for tutorials. And they can stand apart from others, from the competition. And the great boon is that it's not just in one company, but it's multilingual and German, English, all around the world. And yeah, with this, I want to close the topic. And if there are any questions, feel free to ask. Yeah, thank you very much, Alexander, for the very interesting talk. So, questions? I had a look at your YouTube channel with around 32,000 subscribers. You're almost a YouTube star, or already are. How do your students think about this? How do they think about this? And are you already using this in your lessons? Well, first of all, YouTube star, I don't know if I can claim that. I think it's one of the biggest electrotechnology channels on YouTube. I use the videos in my lectures. No, I don't use them in the lectures. I think of it as an add-on. They can look at them additionally. I have classic lectures. I say, who still has trouble, who still wants to view more, can use the videos at home. But I'm not saying someone, I hold the lecture, but you still need to also watch these videos. And there are people who just watch all the videos one day before the exam and try to learn on a way faster speed. And will they pass then? Well, yeah, they might. That's not something just on my uni, but completely the German-speaking realm. Germany, Austria, Switzerland. Yeah. With these words, thank you a lot for this very interesting talk. I'm pretty sure we'll see one or two more videos, and wish you a nice weekend, a nice rest of the day. And to the viewers in the stream, please remember to take out your trash when leaving the room. And yeah, we'll get to stupid arguments against data security now on the next talk. See you soon.